こんにちは、きのこです。映画のイングリッシュ、この番組では映画やドラマを楽しみながらおしゃべりをしています。お気に入りの作品を見つけて英語学習に役立ててくださいね。お送りするのは私、きのこと映画大好きなマイクです。
カープカープカープ、広島広島カープ。
Is it a carp song?
It is our song. We sing that every game.
Oh, そうなんだね。
ソロ、something something something. I don't really know the lyrics. I try reading the lyrics when they play it on the, they show it on the big jumbotron. They show the lyrics there, and they have like a bunch of famous people come out on the Jumbotron singing the carp song. It's very exciting. Yeah.
So,
carp is very exciting.
Yes. It's winning victory.
Oh, yeah. Their magic number now is 2.
2. Wow. Only 2.
So today, it's possible that if the carp win today, which is possible, very possible, and the Giants lose against the Hanshin Tigers, which I don't think is going to happen. But if that does happen, carp win, Tigers lose, carp wins the Central League.
Oh, so nanda. Yeah. Ah, もうそこまでなっちゃうの。I don't figure out how the magic number works.
I don't either so much.
Yeah, this is a very, なんでよくわかんないけどさ、special calculation なんでしょ?
It is. What my basic understanding is you have the first place team and a second place team. If the first place team wins, the magic number goes down by one. If the second place team also loses, then it goes down by two.
Oh, so nanda.
Yeah, so a win and a loss is two. A win and a win, or a loss is one. A loss and a loss, I think it stays the same.
So nanda. それは you can figure out のね。
Basic.
細かい、basically なんだ。
But they keep like the, at the end of the game, they have the hero interviews. And they keep asking the players, like, oh, the magic number. What about the magic number? And all of them are like, oh, I don't understand. I don't care. I just want to win.
そうなんだ。
But, I mean, this Japan series, it's very possible. It's very possible. Hiroshima versus Sapporo.
Oh, Hokkaido.
Yes.
Ham.
Yep. Only one game behind the SoftBank Hawks.
Ah, so なのね.
And I'm pretty. And I'm pretty certain they are going to the Pacific League series. So they'll be.
そうだよね.
Yeah.
Only the Pacific League have a game after the usual tournament. なんか最初の3位だけが。なんとかなんとか戦になるんですよ。ごめんね、なんだかわかんないよね。
I don't know what you're talking about, so.
I mean, Nippon Ham Fighters and other two teams, other
top three class
team have to fight for gaining the
playoffs.
National.
The Central League does the same.
あ、そうなの?
Yeah.
そうなんだ。 So, carp have to fight.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's the A class and the B class. The A class is the top three teams. What happens is the second and the third place teams will have to have a series. So the third place team will go to the home of the second place team.And I think it's a three game, so it's the best of three. And then whoever wins that, they will have a series against the first place team to determine who goes to the Japan series. But at least in the Central League, I'm not certain about the Pacific League, but at least in the Central League, the first place team automatically has one win in this series. And I think it's, I don't know if it's the best of five or the best of seven, but yeah.
So Carp will go to the Nippon series.
Maybe. I mean, they still have to win against whomever, but they've been killing all of the, almost all of, I mean, they, against the Giants, it's a little iffy, but all of the other teams, they've just been killing in the Central League this year, so.
So, so your baseball days are very, very hot.
Right now, yeah. I mean, it's been so exciting this season because Kuroda got 200 wins. Arai got 2,000 hits. He got 200 home runs.
Wow. All of them are 200.
Yeah, this is career. And also this season, Brad Eldred is only one home run away from getting 100 career home runs in MPB. Oh. So that's also very exciting.
So very, very many star players.
Very good, very good. But Nippon Ham, man, looking really good right now. And Otani is not even pitching. He's not pitching. He hasn't been pitching for a couple of weeks now, almost a month maybe. He's only batting.
Oh, but he have a good record.
Oh, he's killing it at the plate. Everyone is everyone is like, maybe he should stop pitching. He's doing so well at the plate. Maybe he should stop pitching. But it's like he throws 160 kilometers an hour.
What?
His fastball is 160. His fastest was like 161.
そんなん出るの?
Yeah, it's the MPB record. It's insane.
Insane.
It is. It's really fast, especially for a starting pitcher. You don't really see starting pitchers usually have a good fastball, but it's the closers, the people who come in the last inning. They are the ones typically, at least in America, who throw like really hard and really fast to throw like
160, 161. He will go to the, he will be invited for by Major League.
He will be. But I think that if he doesn't get to pitch and bat, he's not going. Yeah. If the team comes in like, oh, we want you to be a pitcher, but you're not going to be able to bat, he'll be, no. I think he wants to do both.
Is it, it is a, like Otani player and there in the Major League? I mean, both pitcher and batter?
No. This has not really happened since Babe Ruth. And a lot of people are comparing him to Babe Ruth.
Oh, so nanda. I didn't know Babe Ruth was a both pitcher and batter.
He started off as a pitcher. He was a pitcher first. And he was a really good pitcher. And he started hitting really well. And they're like, oh, let's use you more as a batter and everything like that.
So nanda.
And he ended up not pitching. They took him out and just put him in the outfield. And he spent the rest of his career fielding, not pitching. But Otani, he's only 22.
So nanda.
He is so young. Is he handsome?
かわいいって人はいるよね。かわいい。
Okay. That's the my understanding of that is the Japanese for not handsome. Not really cute. But he's a nice boy.
そうだね。Nice boy. そうだね。そうだね。なんだかね。あー、なんかご飯食べさせてあげたくなるね。
Hold on. He eats too much?
いや、あのね、おばちゃんとして、あざおばちゃん。おばちゃん、want a young boy to make a meal for him.
You want to feed him?
Yeah.
Okay.
そういう感じ、そういう雰囲気。いっぱい食べなさいっていう、そういう感じがする。
Yeah, I've seen this, there in baseball, the nigun. Right? A lot of these like young girls, you know, I say young girls, like in their 20s, they go to the games, like the Nigun games. And they always bring with them like cookies and little cakes that they bake and like give them to their favorite players.
I understand.
Have you ever done that?
それは受け取ってくれるの? The players got it?
Yeah.
From the fan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really easy. I mean, I haven't been to a Nigun game, but from what I understand, it's really easy to be able to interact with the players.
I see, I see. そうやってさ、育てていく楽しみがあるんだよ。They will be enjoying...To raise the Nigun players.
Yeah.
わかるわかる。
Or maybe they're looking for a husband?
No, 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 no. そういうんじゃないじゃないのか。あ、でも、
That's
でも
若い子なん。All right, so that's enough about baseball. This is the Hannah podcast about baseball. This is a podcast about movies. And talking of movies, we have some movie news.
And now, Bob Hope's Swan's Eye View of the News.
Streaming News のコーナーです。Mike, let's go!
Go, 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 go! All right, so first up, we have another lovely email from A-san.
Wow! Thank you!
And since A-san thinks you have a cute voice, why don't you read this for us?
Wow! Really? Thank you!
Go ahead.
Me? お呼んでいいの? Thank you
Please.
For your podcast. Thank you, too.I've got to know the meaning, Hope Springs. I didn't know the meaning of the Hope Springs, so I checked it. Oh, good. Then, I've got to understand the movie more deeply. そうだよね。Next movie, Chocolate Donuts. I saw this movie. Thank you. もともと知ってたのかな?それとも、ポッドキャストのがあるから見てくれたんだったら嬉しいね。It made me so depressed. This movie is great. Alan Cumming is good. He was the host of the Tony Award last year. あ、そうなんだ。Did you know that about it?
I did not know that at all. I have never watched the Tony Awards, so I don't watch Broadway musicals.
After I saw this movie, I couldn't think or do anything for a while. Ah, なるほどね。Let's talk about it later.
Oh yeah, we will. We'll get into it deep.
Kinoko is a mother, right? Yes, I am a mother of two daughters.
Very cute little girls.
Kids. Every kids are so cute.
Oh, of course.
I don't have a child, but I always think a woman who has a child should take care of her child. I don't mean to say she never fall in love with a man or she should love her child. I know.She has a life, but I want her to take care of her child. I always enjoy you and Kinoko's opinion about the movies. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to hearing your next program. This program is next program. Yay. By the way, you said you like Ishihara Satomi.
Yay!
I understand why you like her, because Aisun look like her, doesn't she? Oh, really? Do you think so?
I don't know. Mm. You've met her. What do you think?
It's okay. Around from Aisun's eye to her cheek is similar to Ishihara Satomi. Ah, wakaru na kiga suru. Mm. Don't you think so? I think so.
You think so? The eyes? The eyes and the cheeks.
この感じがさ、ちょっと確かに似てるかもしれない。Like
the cheekbones?
そうそう。でさ、あの人ここ可愛いじゃない？この石原さとみって、この辺が可愛いじゃん。
I don't know. I mean, I like Ishihara Satomi, so maybe that would be nice. maybe, yeah. I do like kind of an apple-y cheek.
You like?
Yeah, if that makes sense, you know, kind of an apple-y looking cheek, little...
でもここさ赤いあんまり赤いとさなんかおばちゃんがこれやるともう痛いんだよね。 She's cute even if she because she is still young.
Yeah, because I'm looking at pictures of her and there are, you know, a couple of pictures where I guess it's like because of the makeup. Her face and her cheeks are a little flatter looking.
Oh, so kana. And it's not, it depends on the makeup.
Yeah, it's not as cute. it's not as cute looking as when you get those kind of like apple-y looking cheeks. That is cute.
Ah, demo 29歳 nara demo ne.
Is she? Yeah, that's I would say that's getting around like the perfect age for a woman. Kind of late 20s, early 30s. Because it's I don't want to be rude, but I think like fashion wise, it's when a woman starts to become a little more mature in the fashion sense, but they still, you know, I guess you could say like the skin and everything still looks young, but they look more mature.
そうだね。最近はさ、やっぱり映像がすごくきめ細かいから、メイクとか、メイクでも肌のこう、肌の状態って、メイクじゃなかなか隠せなくなってて、結構厳しいなって思う。テレビもすごく大きいし、TV is so big.
Yeah.
So we can easily.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Easily see the skin condition of the actress.
I remember this like a few years ago when they first started doing the HD and HD, yeah, the high definition TV. And people on the TV were complaining because they kept adding just more and more of the with the pancake condition stuff on their face, the TV stuff, just to cover up the pores. Soon, we're getting into the 4K. Have you heard about 4K?
Yes.
And I don't know if you've seen any of the like demonstrations at the Deodeo or anything like that, but oh my God, I feel sorry for these people who have to be on TV every day because it is so just clean and you can see just so such small detail. It's like, what are they going to do about their makeup? It's the life is being transformed. It's like, I remember as a kid, like watching TV, like in the 80s, right? This small little TV with a horrible picture. And watching this and be like, oh my God, that woman is so pretty. Or whoever it was. And now as an adult, it's like I Google that actor and I look at her picture and I'm like, Wow, she's actually ugly. But because of the bad picture at the time, she was quite pretty because of the picture quality. But now we're getting into such high quality.
So then TV or movie is very severe for actress. But nowadays, about photo, you have a, we have a strong gadget called Photoshop.
Yeah. That you
and
use a
some
lot.
Great, really great apps for photo decoration. So I have one. I have one in my iPad. So every time I took my picture of myself, I always decorate or 加工するの making.
Yeah. Do you have that app that makes you like skinny?
そうだね skinny and skin condition gets more better. So very very great apps. Even if I didn't have a makeup, I can instantly very easily make up with photo apps. It's very very good.
Yeah, but you also get kind of the opposite end of that, and I'll talk about this later. But this weekend. They're releasing Suicide Squad in Japan. And there's a character, Harley Quinn, who is being played by Margot Robbie, who we saw in The Wolf of Wall Street. And she plays Leonardo's wife. And in the movie, Margot Robbie has to wear these like short shorts, like really short shorts.
And
she's wearing really short shorts in real life while filming this movie. Afterwards, in the post edit, they're like, "Oh, you know what? Let's edit the short shorts to be even shorter." So they basically photoshopped her shorts to make them even shorter in the movie than what they were, even though they were already really short to begin with.
よく見てるね。
I mean, I'm not complaining. Margot Robbie is a beautiful woman, but that's a little silly.
そうだね。
All right, so let's continue on. We have... Wow.
Yes.
I know how to talk.
Thank you, EA-san, yes. From your email.
Thank you very much. And we will be talking more about... parenting and children a little bit later when we talk more in depth about Any Day Now. But we do have some more news. And first up in our news is one of Kinoko's favorites, the lovable Jim Broadbent, who we know as Bridget Jones's father. I don't know. Did we see him in anything else? Was it only Bridget Jones's Diary that we saw him? I think we saw him in something
Iris?
Else. Huh?
Iris? The movie Iris, the movie, not Jim Broadbent.
Oh, I don't remember that. Okay. Yeah. So you really like Jim Broadbent. So Jim Broadbent has been confirmed that he is going to be cast in season 7 of one of the all-time greatest TV shows, Game of Thrones. So everyone start your clocks. The countdown, how long will Jim Broadbent be alive in Game of Thrones? Because he is going to die. Everyone dies in Game of Thrones. They are going to kill him. I'm sure they will kill him.
Oh, he will be killed?
Everyone dies in Game of Thrones.
Really?
That's the thing about Game of Thrones. Even major characters. I will give one spoiler. I think I've said this before, but... One quick spoiler. Season 1 of Game of Thrones. Sean Bean, a famous actor, he comes on. He is the star of the show. He is the main actor. Season finale, they cut off his head. And he is killed. And everyone is like, huh? I don't understand. He's the star. How could you kill the star of the show? And they're like, oh, no. We're not done yet. This person? You like this person? Ah, they're dead.
That person? They're dead.
So it is a fantastic show. You're always on the edge of your seat. Mm-hmm. Because there is a lot of action and people get into sword fights, and usually you're like, oh yeah, this is a cool sword fight. Game of Thrones, you're like, oh my God, please don't die. Please don't die. Because you're afraid they will kill the person. And the actors are always like, I'm fearful of getting the script because I might get killed.
そっか、今回は殺されないかなってこう見るんだね。そうなんだ。
So it's a good show, and it's good to see Jim Broadbent. I know him more as kind of that grandfatherly, nice grandfather kind of person. So seeing him in this world of really just very selfish people, because everyone is tends to be very selfish and.Just out for themselves in Game of Thrones and very kind of hard. So seeing Jim Broadbent and how he's going to interact in this is going to be very interesting, I think. Especially with that image I have.
え、いい人で出るの？わかんないの？
I don't know. I mean, there are some good people, but it's very far and few in between. Most people are very, very selfish. There's not a lot of good.
Perhaps, ひょっとしたら彼も a selfish character?
I don't know. We don't know anything about the character. We just know that he's been cast. So I find it interesting. Is he going to continue to be this kind of lovable grandfather? Or are we going to get to see another side of Jim Broadbent? So... Either way, it's going to be interesting because we don't have enough lovable characters in Game of Thrones. But I kind of want to see a mean, kind of authoritative Jim Broadbent. That would be cool.
Really?
All right. So last night, while I was lying in bed, I started watching a Netflix original TV series. It was just released a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Oh, really?
And it's called Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Yes.
まだ見てないな。I did. まだ. Every time I watch the YouTube, some of the Netflix commercial.
Yeah.
Will be. Sometimes begins at the beginning, but Stranger Things, I didn't know about that.
So it was just renewed for a second season. It's been quite popular in America, at least from what I've been able to see from the shows I watch. And I've about three quarters of the way through the first episode, and I'm enjoying it. It's really good. The basic plot, you know, I don't think it's anything spoilery because it's just the first episode. It's kind of a coming of, it looks like it's going to be, I should say, it looks like it's going to be like a coming of age story. It's about four boys in Indiana in the 80s. So it's set in the 80s in Indiana in America. It's about four boys who are, I think they're freshmen in high school. So it's the first year of high school. That would be the third year of junior high in Japan. And it's, as I said, it is a coming of age story, but there are some horror elements to this. There, from what I know so far, is there is this kind of like a government laboratory next to the town. Where they're doing some kind of experiments on kids or something, maybe. And one of the kids breaks out, and one of the boys from the four boys goes missing. So that's what we're seeing in the first episode, this missing boy mm-hmm. and this escaping, I guess it's mm-hmm. a child or something. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And I did say there is some horror elements to this show. Mm-hmm. So far, it's been limited to jump scares.
Jump scares.
Yeah. So give you an example of what a jump scare is. This is one of the scenes from the TV show. And you might not like this because you don't really like horror very much. But the scene is we're in the laboratory and one of the doctors is trying to escape. And so he's running down the hall to the elevator. And, you know, he's like pushing the button, like, hurry up mm-hmm. for the elevator. And the elevator comes and he gets in and he's standing and he's looking, mm-hmm. you know, down the hallway. And he's like pushing the button. And then he hears whatever it is, like, above mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. So you see him, like, looking up. And then the camera switches from inside the elevator to the outside, looking into mm-hmm. the elevator. And then the doors start closing. And all of a sudden, mm-hmm. as the doors are closing, you see his body just go up.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a jump scare. It's something that will just make you kind of jump. You don't see anything. Right, it's the not seeing it, and it's that kind of action of something happening mm-hmm. that makes you just kind of like, ooh. Mm-hmm. So that's a jump scare. It just kind of like for a very brief second, just like ooh, scares you. So there's a lot of that.
There's from the book again.
Yeah, in the first like 20 or 30 minutes, I would say there's like 4 or 5 mm-hmm. really good jump scares. I mean. So far, the quality of this show is really mm-hmm. good. I mean, it's only the first episode, but it's done really well. The jump scares are done really well. Mm-hmm. The characters are very interesting so far. And the story seems like it might mm-hmm. be good. It does have two kind of big names, or they used to be big names. That's Winona Ryder.
Oh.
Plays the mother of the missing boy. Mm-hmm. And there's also Matthew Modine, mm-hmm. who plays one of the scientists, I think. Do you know Matthew Modine?
No.
Matthew Modine, he's probably most famous. He had a role in Full Metal Jacket. Mm-hmm. And he did a bunch of movies in the 80s, like Gross Anatomy. This was when about the medical students, which was a really good movie. He was kind of big in the 80s, but then kind of fell off the radar for a while.
Oh, Steve Jobs.
He looks like Steve Jobs.
Jobs, 2013. Jobs.
Oh, really?
John Scully. Yes.
Okay. Oh, he played Scully.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So he did a bunch of, like, yeah, in the 80s, he was kind of big in the 80s, but then made a couple of bad movies and went away. Mm-hmm. So if you like scary movies, so far I haven't really seen, like, anything that's disgusting. There hasn't mm-hmm. been, like, any gore. Mm-hmm. G-O-R-E, gore, you know, mm-hmm. like blood mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. nothing like that. Mm-hmm. It's scarier than that. Because of the mm-hmm. jump scares and everything mm-hmm. is left to your imagination. So mm-hmm. it's intense mm-hmm. that way.
How long is the one episode?
I think they're 45.
45.
Mm-hmm. I can mm-hmm. check. Mm-hmm. I will check real quick.
The many TV shows have that length.
Yeah, that's not what I wanted. Oh, sorry. Hold on. Mm. Let me check that real quick. So the episodes are 48, then 50 minutes, about 50 mm-hmm. minutes per episode. Mm. Wow, this is weird because it's very inconsistent. There's 46 minutes, 41 minutes, 54 mm-hmm. minutes, 50 minutes. So they're just whatever. But I open up Netflix and here, I heard it's not a very good movie. Mm-hmm. But September 9th, coming to Netflix, is Pan. Mm. This is the Hugh Jackman, Peter Pan movie. Do you know this movie? Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay. But if you like Hugh Jackman, it's in Peter Pan. It was from 2015. Hugh Jackman, Rooney Mara. And Hugh Jackman plays a Blackbeard. And it has the Cara Delevingne, who is a model, who's very famous for having these like really thick eyebrows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Deborah Lee.
Yeah. So, and she's also, and Cara is also in Suicide Squad. That's coming out this weekend. So.
Yeah.
All right, and the final thing for our news, streaming news corner is a couple of days ago, my wife and I went to go see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So we went to go see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Out of the Shadows.
Yes.
It's a TV show.
Movie. It's a movie in the theaters. We went to the theaters.
Okay.
To go see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was very nervous because this is actually a sequel. The original, the first one was released a couple of years ago. This is the sequel. And I was nervous because I didn't think my wife was going to enjoy this movie because it is a sequel and it is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. For anyone who doesn't know Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, this was originally a comic book a long time ago, maybe the 60s or 70s. But for me, I grew up on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon when I was maybe in junior high school. And I loved the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. They made some movies in the 80s. I went to go see those movies, and I love those movies. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is about four turtles and a rat that were in, again, it's a laboratory. They're in this laboratory, and they get exposed to this, like, radioactive oozy goo.
Oozy goo.
Ooze. So this like thick, watery kind of thing. And so the four turtles and the rat, they get exposed to this and it kind of transforms them into a humanoid-ish figure. So they look kind of human. They're very turtle looking, you know. I mean, they still have their turtle shell, but, you know, they have arms and legs and they can talk and everything like that.
Okay.
So it's very silly. I can see your face. You're like, okay, whatever. And it seems somehow the rat, who's older and everything like that, he found a book about karate and being a ninja. So he teaches
karate and a ninja?
Yeah, so he teaches the turtles how to be ninjas. And he names the turtles after great Renaissance painters and sculptors. So the turtles are Leonardo, Michelangelo, Donatello, and Raphael. And my personal favorite is Michelangelo. He's the one who wears orange. They wear different colors. Michelangelo always wears orange. And so that's the basic story. You know, it's about these turtles who get mutated. That's why they're mutant. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And they're ninjas, so at night they go around and, you know, solve crimes and help people and everything like that. So I thought, like, oh, this is a very silly thing. You know, I loved this as a kid. My wife isn't going to like it. Watch the movie. She really enjoyed the movie.
Does she?
Yes, she did. Really enjoyed the movie. The story itself is very simple. It is for kids. So the story is very simple. The story is a little iffy, actually. I mean, there's some problems with what happens in the story. But that's very simple. They actually do a very good job up front of summarizing what happened in the previous movie. So you understand what's happening in the world at large. The comedy, and this is a thing of, this weekend, I really kind of want to go back and watch Ghostbusters. again because
again
the comedy in this movie, I'm watching this movie and I'm laughing at this movie and I'm thinking, this is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know what, if it wasn't Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I probably wouldn't be laughing at this joke.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's Michelangelo talking about pizza, it's very nostalgic for me.
Talking about pizza.
Yeah, because the turtles, they love pizza.
They're
always eating pizza.
Okay.
And there's a lot of jokes around pizza in the turtles. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, it's like, you know, I'm almost 40. This wouldn't be funny to me, but it just, it's nostalgic. So it reminds me of being a little kid watching turtles after school, and I'm enjoying it. And maybe Ghostbusters is the same. I didn't feel any nostalgia watching Ghostbusters. So the humor, maybe it's just the same level of humor and everything like that. So it's a little more juvenile. So I kind of want to go back and watch Ghostbusters. But yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I would say if you're a kid, you'll probably enjoy this movie. If you're an adult, you might enjoy this movie because it's very easy to follow. It's very easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of the mutants, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the turtles look a lot better in this movie than the first one a couple years ago. They looked, the look for the turtles in the first one was bad, really bad. They improved it. And we have a lot more turtles in this movie. The first movie was a lot of Megan Fox. In this movie, it's a lot more turtles. So I was very happy about that. Get some more turtle action in there. So,
turtle, だけど, are they speedy?
They're ninjas. Of course they're speedy.
But turtles.
They're humanoid turtles. And they have skateboards. They kind of, Michelangelo rides a skateboard, but yeah.
なんかさ、忍者じゃないや。あの、トゥルトルであることの特性は生かしてるの? Do they use their own talent as a turtle?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There is a scene, I don't want to spoil it too much, but a small spoiler because I want to give it this example. They're falling over a waterfall. This really long, tall, high waterfall. And you see them falling. And as they're falling, you see them go inside the shell. So their head and arms and legs is
hide
sucking.
Their legs and
And I was like, oh crap. And I just laughed. So that was fun.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed it. I'm very surprised about that. A lot of just silly humor. It's easy to follow. It's easy to understand if you're just, yeah, a good time. All right. So let's move on to today's main topic, movie talk.
Okay. Today's movie is... チョコレートドーナツだけど Any day now.
Any day.
現代は Any day now. 現代放題がチョコレートドーナツです、映画について日本語で少し説明します。舞台は1979年のカリフォルニア。ショーパブでパフォーマーとして日銭を稼ぎ暮らすルディは客として訪れた検事局のポールと心を通わせ交際を始めます。そんな折、ルディはアパートの隣の部屋に住むダウン症の少年、マルコが危険薬物を所持し逮捕された母親のために施設へと隔離された事実を知ります。施設を脱走し夜の街をさまようマルコ。その姿に心を痛めたルディはポールを解き捨ててマルコを引き取り、共に暮らすことを提案します。ゲイのカップルであることを隠し、法的手続きによりマルコの監護者となった二人は、本当の両親のようにマルコに愛情を注ぎ、三人で幸せな日々を送るのです。しかしまだ同性愛に対する風当たりが強かった時代、彼らをパーティーに招いたポールの上司ら周囲の反応は冷淡で、二人はマルコの 養育者とは認められず裁判沙汰になってしまいます。弁護士の奮闘も虚しく、ルディとポールはマルコとの関係を引き裂かれ、マルコは彼を引き取る条件で釈放された母親との生活に逆戻りさせられます。ここは僕の家じゃないと叫ぶマルコと、彼を再びネグレクトする母親。後にルディとポールはマルコが放浪の挙句悲惨な運命をたどったことを知るのです。
Introduce people with thoughtful details.
Yes, any day now or chocolate donuts. So,
donuts 食べたくなってきた。
Yeah. Wow, donuts.
いや、ドーナツ食べるシーンがとても美味しそうで。
Reminds me of Homer Simpson. Donuts. All right.So, Chocolate Donuts, the 2012 movie, Any Day Now, was directed by Travis Fine, who is a fellow Atlantan. Yay, Atlanta! I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. He's from Atlanta, Georgia, so I'm just very happy.
Your hometown.
Yeah. So, Travis Fine, from what I can see, he started his career acting.And he did like a string of just small roles, you know, an episode of this TV show, an episode of that TV show, a minor role in a movie. And then he kind of moved into directing a series of like small independent films. Nothing that I really know. I don't know any of his other movies. So this is it for me so far. And the movie stars Alan Cumming as Rudy Donatello, who is probably...most famous for his role in the James Bond film GoldenEye. And he did have a role in Spice World, the Spice Girls movie. Excellent movie. I enjoyed that. I was a big fan of the Spice Girls.
Okay.
But he pretty much had a career doing smaller kind of independent films. Usually when he is...in a big budget film, he tends to play a bad guy. But I think that's because he's British. And in America, we tend to cast British as the bad guys in our films.
Oh, so then.
Yeah. But right now, he is attached to a movie in pre-production called The Surrealist, in which he will be playing Salvador Dali.
Boy.わかる。
ぽいぽいぽい。What is that?
Yeah, sounds good. And looks like Dali image.
Coming?
Yes.
Oh, ぽいぽいぽい。Yeah. Okay, yeah.
これぽい。
Yeah, only he has to do like those, they're not handlebars, right? He didn't have handlebars, but whatever that Salvador Dali mustache was, man, that is so fantastic. All right, yeah, okay. I'm lost my train of thought thinking Salvador Dali. sorry. So, yeah, Salvador Dali mustache. All right, Paul Fligger is played by Garrett Dillahunt. We saw Garrett in 12 Years a Slave. He was Armsby. So he was the white slave that Solomon asked to mail the letter.
I see. Yes.
I did not recognize him.
Never.
Right? So,
no.
Fantastic. I was excited when I saw that.
そして私は読めない。Garrett Dillahunt.
Dillahunt. Dillahunt is how I would pronounce that. Yeah. Dillahunt.So that's him. I don't know anything else about Garrett. And then finally, Marco is portrayed by Isaac Leyva. And this is his first film that he's done. But he is in, they just released, I think this year, his second film called Wakefield. And this stars Bryan Cranston.And Jennifer Garner. So he has his second movie under his belt already. And you kind of like him in this film. I mean, he doesn't do anything but except eat donuts. Right. So some interesting information. And there is actually some interesting information about this movie. First, just to show you like how this stuff, I didn't understand how this stuff works, but this movie was released in December of 2012 in America, but it didn't come to Japan until April of 2014.
Oh, so なんだ.
So that's like a 2-year difference before it made its way to Japan. I don't understand how this works, but
but this is maybe this is for small theater movie だったじゃないかな, I guess.
Yeah, we would probably say art house theater.
Art house.
Yeah, that plays, that tends to play more independent films and have like little mini festival, movie festivals and
Not Cinecon って感じだね.
Yeah. Yeah, they tend to not play the big blockbusters, big budget movies in the theaters. More independent films and
yes.
All right. So the original screenplay was inspired by a true story. So this is kind of based off of a true story.
And kind of.
Yeah. And it was written over 30 years ago. The original screenplay was written over 30 years ago by George Arthur Bloom. But there are some differences between the original script and the script that was rewritten by Travis Fine. In the original real life story, it was set in Queens, New York, which is why in this film, Alan Cumming's character has a very heavy Queens accent. Yeah. So it was set in Queens, New York. The boy was did not have Down syndrome, but he was a mute, which means he did not speak. He just never talked. So he was had some kind of autism. And the from what I can tell, the man who adopts him, was it Rudy, who kind of adopts him? He doesn't get married, or he's not like in a relationship, and they don't try to adopt the boy. And I don't think the boy ever is named either. So, and the boy, I think, was kind of living with his grandmother in real life, was living with his grandmother at the time. So Rudy would just like go and hang out with him, and he bought him food and bought clothes and stuff for him and tried getting him into school. And everything like that.
So only support.
Yeah, very much just supporting him and everything like that. Because the grandmother just didn't take care of him. The director, Travis Fine, before making this film, he made another film called Space Between. And while he was working on that film, he needed some help with the music of the film. So he called like his high school buddy, who coincidentally was the music supervisor for Glee. And that is PJ Bloom. So they worked on the movie, they finished working on the movie, and like one day after that, Travis was talking with PJ, and he's like, you know, I'm looking for a new project to work on. And PJ was like, oh, you know, my father has this script. And he showed the script to Travis. And he was like, oh, I really like that. And that was the script for Any Day Now. So Travis got that and, you know, made some changes to it. Like, you know, changing Marco from a mute to having Down syndrome. And adding the adoption part to it and everything like that. And 30 years after the script was written, it was finally made. It's a very, very interesting kind of story, which is not too uncommon in Hollywood, to be honest.
なるほど.
Yeah. People writing scripts and it just sits on a shelf and... Yeah. There is something like that. Yeah, I think it's called The Blacklist in Hollywood. And that's just this... It's a list of scripts that have been written that, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, this is a really good script.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't have the time, or I'm not really motivated to, you know, make this into a project. But this is a really good script, and it goes onto like this list of good scripts that people can be like, oh, let me look and see what this is, a good project that I can do and stuff like that. And so, yeah, the scripts, people are just writing scripts all the time and sending them in to people. And yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's some interesting information about the
movie. Thank you.
Yeah. I think it gives you kind of a different perspective on the movie as well. Kind of knowing about, you know, being based or inspired by a true story and everything. All right. So let's get into the movie. And where would you like to start today, on the good or the bad?
Bad.
All right. Do you want to start, or do you want me to start?
You.
Me. I can't say.
You don't like this movie, right? Kind of.
That's difficult to say. I don't dislike. It's not I dislike the movie. You know, I can't say that there's really anything bad about this movie. Right? There's stuff thing I would say is bad about this movie. But, you know, I mean, it certainly, it feels and it is a little fabricated to pull at your heartstrings and to make you emotional. But it doesn't do that for me.
Okay.
The trial part. I really enjoyed. I enjoyed that part, and I really enjoyed kind of the dialogue and the interactions.
Yes. わかる.
Outside of that, the dialogue is it's there's nothing special about it. It's very 普通.
普通ね.
Yeah.
普通わかる普通.
And I think. And I'm sure we'll get more into this later, but I feel like the political or social message of the movie gets in the way of everything else that they're trying to do. It gets in the way of the story, and it kind of gets in the way of the characters a little bit. So there's that problem with it. But I think, like, for me, really, honestly, I cry at everything.
You cried?
No. I do cry at everything. Went to go see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they always have the previews before that. I got to see the trailer for Rogue One for the first time on the big screen. I almost cried watching this trailer, just so excited. And I was like, oh my God, this looks so great. This movie, not once. I felt bad, and I'll kind of talk about this in a good part, but, you know, it's like there are some scenes where it's like you feel really bad for Marco, or you feel bad for Rudy, but kind of like in a sense of on the same level of you feel bad for a puppy dog.
なるほどね。
So, what about you? What was your bad?
Okay. Before talking about this podcast, we write about this movie in our show notes. And I planned to say the following things at the end of part, but 先に言うと、なんかね、そう、not enough って感じなの。Everything is not enough.
Yeah.
それで、なんかね、どれもすごく物足りないのね。あの、言いたいことはわかるっていうか、I wanted to get into the movie's world, but I couldn't. I don't know why, but...not enough to understand how deeply Paul and Rudy loves Marco, and also not enough to understand why Rudy wanted to raise Marco by himself. そこがすごくそういうのがあんまり説明っていうか深く書かれて深く書かれていないから、なんか事実だけが積み重なれてて積み重なっていて、ああそういうことがあったんだ、 Oh that event happened that event happened but I couldn't be emotional to that movie whole movie だったの。でなんか物足りなくて、でそれが全体的な印象ね。あとはちょっと厳しい言い方だと look like a tearjerker な感じがしたのね。お涙ちょうだいっていう感じがして、I think the director never wanted to do so, but I felt like that.
Never wanted to do what?
To do make a tearjerker movie.
Ah, okay.
残念だなと思ったのは、で、If Marco is not Down syndrome, did Rudy and Paul tried to foster him? This is one question. その気持ちがずっとあったから、そのクエスチョンが、This is a big question for me だったの。You said it's like a raise, adopt a puppy.
Yeah.
Like って言ったじゃない。で、そんな感じ、私もそんな感じがしたのね。あとは、そうだな、The Rudy and Paul said in a party scene, this is their relationship is a kind of a discrimination, they said. But if the movie wanted to how they are discriminated, the character shouldn't say like that. We are discriminated, or this is a discrimination. This is very cheap discrimination. Cheap description.
Show. Don't say.
Show. Don't say. そうそういうこと。それがなんかちょっと物足りそういうのも物足りなかったし。から I never this is a big question だし big political issue so I understand the director wanted to show how they are fragile in the society、how they are discriminated or how they are なんだろう weak so we have toWe should pay attention more to them. けど、そう言いたいのはわかるんだけど、ちょっと物足りなくて、shallow description of each character っていうイメージがして、したな。なんかもうちょっと長くてもいいのかも。For example, this is only 1.5-hour movie.だったけど、もう少し長く例えばどんな関係がそのルディとポールとマルコの間にどんな家族の関係があったのかとかその辺をもう少し深く掘り下げて見せてくれた方がもうちょっと映画の世界に入り込めたような気がして、
Yeah, another half an hour.Would have been fine.
そのぐらいが、
I could have watched another half an hour of this movie.
あとさ、あと多すぎるのよエピソードが。あのさ、ルディが成功するっていうのは別にそんなに映画に関係ないのかなと思った。I felt Rudy's success at the showbiz doesn't relate it to the movie itself.そうだからそこなんか余分だなと思ってそのエピソードはいらないかなって思った。
Oh, you're talking about Rudy and his singing.
Yes, yes.
I disagree with that. I think
because
I think that is what this movie is about. I think this movie is about Rudy. And Marco.And the lawyer, whatever the lawyer's name is.
Paul
are the catalyst for Rudy and Rudy changing his life. So this movie is about Rudy. That's what I think. But we can get more into that when we talk about the good. Sorry. But, you know, to kind of pick up on what you were saying, I think this movie does a very good job of describing itself when we're in the trial and the judge was like, you met and then you're moving into with each other the next day wanting to adopt this kid. It's like, who does that? You know, that's way too fast. It's like you decide to live with each other a day after meeting. You know, and that's how this whole movie feels. It moves too quickly. They're trying to do too much in the movie. It's just, yeah. And, you know.
Okay. So let's talk about a good point.
Okay. So go ahead.
Okay. I like the texture of the first part of the movie. It's like indies. Indies atmosphere, and I like that the camera is like a small camera の感じがし、の雰囲気、なんかこう小さいカメラで撮ってて、こう手ぶれがあってとか、そういうその雰囲気はとっても好きなんだけど、その雰囲気がなんかだんだん消えていっちゃって、普通の映画になっちゃって、で残念なのはその雰囲気はいいんだけど雰囲気だけで結局誰の視点から映画が撮られてるのかが分かんなくなっちゃったかなっていうのが残念だったけど I like the first part, the texture and atmosphere I love, but this is only that. だけど I didn't know whose point of view this movie wasmade. I didn't know that. それがちょっと残念だった。
Yeah, that gets lost along with a lot of stuff gets lost in this movie.
あとはそうだな、ドーナツ食べるところは美味しそうだったし、マルコーズ pureness って言ったらいいのかな、はとても心を打つものがあったし、なんか多分すごく全身で演技をしているってのは変だけども、それが彼のキャラクターがにじみ出て いるんだろうなっていう、そういう温かい気持ちにはなったよ。で、ドーナツ食べたくて。アバチュ
ー。before that, before that. So if you can, you know, talk maybe a little bit, explain a little bit more about the camera work and the textures and stuff, because...I find it very interesting. Typically, when I watch movies, I don't pay attention to so much, you know, the cinematography and everything. So there's something that actually, you know, having, you know, talking with you, I'm starting to pay more attention to while watching movies. So what do you mean by, you know, like indie work, the cameras and the textures and everything? How is it different than a big blockbuster kind of movie?
What?
The camera work. The cinematography.
I like the indies.
Yeah.
Atmosphere. Cinematography. And what is your question?
So just if you could explain a little bit more what you mean by...
Indies ってことの? Yeah. なんだろうな。こう、carrying... looks like...carrying a small camera, using a small camera's work.
Over the shoulder, handheld.
そう、そういう雰囲気がちょっとするのと、ちょっとあと色が、color of the screen is a little bit, なんていうのかな、少し荒っぽい。A little bit rough.
Grainy.
そうそうそうそう。
Yeah. And a little dark.The colors are a little dark. Yeah.
なんか手作りな感じがしますっていう handmade movie っていう感じが。
And it's always, at least in the beginning, I don't remember if it tracks, but the camera is always in motion. It's always has like a slight kind of rock to it. It's always just like bobbing a little bit. And I don't remember this, but does the camera stabilize near the end of the movie? I mean, we still get, I think, some wonderful kind of like angles that's consistent throughout the entire movie. I don't think they transition into more kind of traditional shots, do they? Do the angles also change?
Angle, I don't remember.
Okay. But the camera work itself, in terms of the stability of it, kind of does change.
Right. But this is a very important, Janai. The camera work's change of transition.
Yeah.
Is how we get into the movie's world. Do you remember the District 9?
District 9.
Yes.
The South African movie.
あれはすっごいカメラワークが面白かった。I
don't remember them. I remember watching the movie. I don't remember that much about it though.
最初は本当にもうこういう感じの あの、ちっちゃいカメラで撮っている感じ、インディーズっていうか、ハンドキャメラって感じなの、ホームビデオのキャメラみたいなのをこう動かしてる感じがするんだけど、その気がついたら、その元神様の視点なのに、God's eyes point of view なんで変わっていて、それそうなった時にこう、あ、映画が変わるんだっていうのがすごくよく分かった。This this change, camera work's change made me made me clearly understand the movies, movies, everything will be changed after that. それが、すごい面白かった。 The movie itself is a little bit gross.
Yeah. Prawns. That's all I remember. I just remember prawns. So what do you think of, not to get too far off topic, but what do you think of these, the found footage genre?
Found footage genre?
Yeah.
What is it?
A found footage, found, like F-O-U-N-D, found footage genre. This is like the Blair Witch Project, maybe Cloverfield, where it's kind of a, some, there's like some event or something that happened, and during this event, there are a group of people running around with their own camcorder, recording this, and they're, you know, talking to each other and talking to the camera. So it looks like a home video. It feels like a home video kind of thing where they found this footage of like someone making a home video. Have you seen anything like that?
Like House of Cards.
Is House of Cards found footage?
Sometimes, あの人がね、突然こっちに向かって話しかけるの。あの人って言ってんの分かんないよね。<laughs> Kevin Spacey가.
Yeah, maybe.
だけどやりすぎると too much is too disappointment.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know if you will watch it or not, but I mean, they tend to be, I think, more kind of horror-ish films, but maybe we should watch Cloverfield. It's a 2008 thriller action movie, which is a found footage about like monsters or something like that. But yeah. All right. So for me, the good, I think like the ending, maybe not so much for like a Japanese audience growing up with Japanese movies, but for me to see, I don't know if I would really call it a Hollywood movie, but a Hollywood movie that ends on a bad note, right? The death of Marco and how he dies, and it was, you know, Paul writing the letters to all of those people, like his former boss and a judge and a prosecutor, saying like, you just killed this kid, you're a dick, feel bad. This doesn't really happen in American and Hollywood movies because we love happy endings, right? And it kind of clashes with Marco, who's always like, oh, read me a bedtime story with a happy ending. A happy ending. Which, in hindsight, it's setting you up for the ending. It's like, happy ending, happy ending. No, no happy ending. This is real life. So I enjoyed that. And really, it was a very gutsy thing to do. To say like, no, we're going to end this on kind of a bad note. A very unhappy ending. I mean, we get Rudy's character is kind of happy, but really it's a bad ending.
I understand. I understand. だからさ、もっともっと深くキャラクターのことが分かったら、もっとこの最後が生きてきたなって、それが残念。I'm very sorry っていうか、残念、残念だよ。If the characters are described more and more deeply, that sad ending will have more effect, more emotional to us. だったかなって。
Yeah. I agree. It would have hit you a lot harder if you felt more attached. The whole scene with Rudy and Marco, and Rudy was like, oh, what do you want for breakfast? And Marco was like, donuts. And oh, I forgot to do that, but I clipped it. I'll have it for next time. Rudy was like, donuts are poison. They'll give you pimples. I enjoyed that. That was funny. The trial, of course, especially that first trial, I thought that was really good. It was well done. It picked up the pace of the movie a little bit.
Ah, so that ne. Pick up the pace.
Yeah. I think the dialogue was a little more interesting than the rest of the movie. And talking about the camera work, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, but the scenes, the two scenes of Marco, like the first time when he's running away from the foster home, and then the second time when he's running away from his mother's home. That I really enjoyed those scenes of, it was very dark and it had like that kind of the orangey street lights. And it was very drawn back. And it was just, you see the back of Marco like walking down the street. And that was the moment where I was like, oh yeah, he's kind of like a puppy, right? Because you see this and it's very dramatic and it makes you sad of seeing him walk down this street. And it was framed very well. But it's like, yeah, there's no real emotional attachment. It's like watching a puppy or something, and you're just like, oh, how cute and how sad. But I mean, again, it could have been better, like everything in this movie. But the character developments I thought was pretty good and pretty interesting. Of course, there is no character development for Marco. I mean, Marco is Marco. He's the same at the beginning and at the end. The only thing that really changes is he wants to, you know, be with Rudy and Paul. But, I mean, that's the only thing. But he is kind of the catalyst for everything that happens in this movie in terms of Paul and Rudy getting together. In terms of forcing Paul to, how'd you say, accept or start to become, feel comfortable with his sexuality. Because that's something that he has to work on. Being comfortable with his sexuality and not being afraid of showing his sexuality. And So that's kind of, you know, Paul's character and the development of his character. But then there's also Rudy, who I think changes the most,
mm-hmm.
in that Marco forces him to grow up, and to be, you know, assume responsibilities, and to force him to get enough courage to pursue his dreams. Because, and I think this is interesting that we look and we see Paul is kind of hiding his sexuality, he's preventing himself from growing by hiding his sexuality. But we have Rudy, who is hiding behind his sexuality because he is afraid to grow.
Oh,
you know, he's afraid to pursue music. He's afraid to take on these responsibilities. And I would say, in a sense, he's kind of hiding behind his sexuality. You know, he's doing all of these things and he's acting in this way because it prevents him from having to, you know, be responsible and try something. But the introduction of Marco, he's like, you know, I have to take care of this person. So I have to grow up and I have to start doing this. And we see that. And then we see at the end, you know, Rudy singing, you know, in the club. And it's like his, I guess it's his own song or whatever, but he's singing and, you know, he kind of achieves what he wants. And, you know, Paul is happy now, you know, kind of happy, you know, and they're in this relationship and everything. So because of Marco, we see, you know, our two characters, you know, really change. But it's not done that well. You know, it's not explained very well during the movie. So
you are a good audience, Dane.
This is the thing. It's like whenever I go into a movie, and this is again why I feel so bad about Ghostbusters. But it's, you know, seriously, I want to enjoy the movie. I want to find something that is interesting and I'm going to like.
Yes.
And there's a couple of things about this.
So then I have to be aware of not only just judging. Just criticizing is not bad.
Yeah, it's easy, I think, to criticize. And it's easy, especially, you know, since we talk every week, we're talking about movies and watching lots of movies. It's easy to start comparing them and being like, oh yeah, this isn't that good and this is good and everything. I just want to enjoy a movie.
Okay.
And I kind of enjoyed it, but all right. So let's move along to, what are we doing? Oh, I think we're doing this.
Is that a British Army Browning L9A1 in your pocket? Or are you just pleased to see me?
Question. So do you have any questions about any day now? Chocolate
donuts. 重箱の隅つつきたくないんだけど, I think if the mother is a drug abuse, it isn't possible. It seems to be impossible to take her son to back. In such situation, the movie legally possible? それ、それなんか細かいところが気になった。
Actually, they address this in the movie, in which they talk about, yes, it is possible.
It is possible
for someone who has been convicted of a crime or is known to, you know, be a drug addict or something like that. Yeah, they if it's their child. Yeah.
Okay.
I think maybe they could even adopt.
This shows law is not always ethically correct.
No. I think that the reasoning for the law is it's the belief of it's best to keep children with their biological parents. And I mean, and there is the possibility that the mother could have, you know, after getting out of jail and being sober, continued to have lived a sober life and gone out and gotten a job. So she would have every right to, you know, to be able to have her, you know, her own child and raise her own child, but she didn't do that.
Okay. Okay, how about you? Your question?
And of course, I have to ask every week, I will ask.
My name is Columbo. I'm a lieutenant.
Is this a Columbo movie?
A bit.
Yeah, it is a little a little laggy, kind of long scenes of nothingness.
But this movie itself is short, so it doesn't matter for me this time.
Yeah, the movie is short. Some at parts of the movie does feel long. And I guess that's the heart of is it a Columbo movie? Are there parts where you think like, hey, they could have sped it up, or they could have done something different to make it a little more interesting? All right, so I do have a question, and we kind of I think we kind of talked about this already, but could you, like the mother in this movie, could you give up your child? I mean, would you just willingly be like, oh yeah, you can have my kid, to a stranger?
I don't know. Give up your child?
I mean, she didn't even think about it, really, did she?
This is an extreme case, de show.
Yeah. Well, could you adopt a child?
Yeah, 現実的にはちょっとわかんない、考えられない。 It's too far situation for me to adopt a child. I know many Hollywood celebrities adopt a child, even if they have their own child. But it is another world story, 感じがする。
George Lucas. Madonna.
Yes.
Angelina Jolie. She's adopted half of Africa.
なるとすると maybe in Japan, now here in Japan, it is very hard to adopt a child if you want to adopt a child. First of all, only single person can't adopt, maybe.
Yeah.
And so, and do they have enough income, financially support, とか? So they have some. So we have some judgment to severe judgment to adopt child adoption.
Yeah. So I have no children, and adoption is something that I've actually looked into. And what I understand about in Japan, it is difficult. It's a very difficult process to go through in adopting. And you never, from what I understand and from what I've read, in Japan, if you adopt in Japan, you never really legally become their parents. I mean, you could, like, if you go and you adopt a, you know, a 5-month-old baby. And you raise them for 12 years. If their biological parents decide, like, oh, I want my child back, then it's like the next day you have to give the child back, even though you are their parents and you adopted them. But really, technically, you're not their parents. So it seems very messy to me. All right. So then, let's move on to our final word.
Take a step back. Look at the bigger picture.
And what is your final word on chocolate donuts?
3 out of 5?
3 out of five. Wow, that's not bad.
So that's still not bad.
That's still over 50%. That's still a positive.
But that's all.
That's all.
How about you?
Yeah. You know, overall, the movie, it's a little bland. We have both said we wish we could have had a little bit more from everything, a little more time spent with the characters, a little more understanding of the characters. I think that, you know, the kind of political and social message kind of interferes with that. There's a lot of times when you feel like, you know, it's, this movie is set in 1980. I was 2 years old in 1980. I have no real understanding of what it was like to have been a homosexual man in 1980s Los Angeles, but it feels like the movie assumes you understand what it was like to be a homosexual man. You understand the feelings of homosexual men at that time. And you understand, you know, the life and the difficulties of someone who has Down syndrome. So it's making all of these assumptions, and everything is playing off of these assumptions. Like when we're at the party of Paul's boss, you know, they're at the party and that stupid kind of interaction that you disliked that you talked about, and all of the, like, the looks, you know, everyone gives them these looks. And you're supposed to understand, right? You're supposed to understand, like, oh, they're looking at them because they think they're gay.
Yes.
So, and I think that happens because this political message or social message or whatever gets in the way of really developing that. So, but overall, I mean, it's a good movie, kind of, you know. I like Alan Cumming. I think he does a wonderful job. Marco Isaac Levy is really adorable in this movie. He looks quite happy at times, you know. Yeah. So I give it a 3.4 out of 5.
Okay.
A little bit higher. But yeah, it's, I mean, it's a good movie if you just want to watch something that might make you cry. I mean, it didn't make me cry so much. It made me feel bad. Made me feel bad about myself. But yeah. All right, so that's it for Any Day Now, a.k.a. Chocolato Donuts. All right, so what are we doing? So first we should say that coming up next week, we have a schedule conflict. So, I'm going to be in Osaka watching the Carp play the Hanshin Tigers. So we're going to miss. So next week is not going to be us talking about our next movie. But this weekend, I am going to be going to the movies. I'm going to go see Suicide Squad. I'm going to try to rewatch Ghostbusters. And I'm going to probably watch Gods of Egypt. Or in Japanese, it's King of Egypt. So I'll be talking about those. And I might talk about the Netflix show Strange Days or whatever. Stranger Things. Whatever. I forget the name. Yeah, Stranger Things. So I'll be I'll probably be talking about that next week. And then the week after that, we'll come back to our normal show. And when we come back, what are we going to be talking about, Madame?
Okay. Semi-pro. Odaiga Oretachi Danku Shooter.
Yeah.
Available in the Hulu.
Yes. Do you know anything about semi-pro?
No. Nothing.
Why? Everyone should know this movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
So this movie, it stars Will Ferrell, Woody Harrelson, Will Arnett, Jackie Earle Haley, who is fantastic, and of course the awesome, the incredible, the other Atlantan, Andre 3000.
Okay.
Who's from Atlanta. So I like him. And it has one of the ladies who was a nurse in the ER.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so nanda ne.
Or was she a doctor? I don't remember. I think she was a nurse, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that is next week.
Mitemimasu.
All right, so that's it. Simi Pro, that's for next week.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and good night, everybody.
Good night. Wait a minute, boy. Where are you going?
I sang my number. I gave the show a little class. Now I'm off.
映画のイングリッシュ。本日はこの辺でお開きです。聞きいただきありがとうございました。番組ウェブサイトは映画のイングリッシュ .com。メールはmike@englishcom きのこ @englishcom です。次回はセミプロ、俺たちダンクシューターをご案内します。どうぞ聞いてくださいね。それではまた次回ありがとうございました。
And thank you for listening. And I just wanted to point out very quickly here that if you go to eganoenglish.com, very up near the top of the page, you will see a kore made tori ageta sakuhin. And this is the list of all of the movies that we have talked about. We have all of the movies up there and all of the TV shows that we have talked about. You can go through there, look at that. And it has a direct link to the episode of the podcast. So if you want to talk, we talked about like Despicable Me, Bridget Jones's Diary, Shaun of the Dead, Mission Impossible. If you want to see all the movies that we have talked about and listen to us talk about that, then just go to our website, eganoenglish.com, and right there, kore made tori, is that how you say it? Tori ageta?
Mm-hmm.
Sakuhin. I can read Japanese. I'm happy. Mm. Yay. So in there, we have all the list up there, and coming soon is some more information, some Disney information about all the wonderful Disney movies. And also on the website, I have an article posted up there of just recently of the Beauty and Beast. We have a little sneak peek of the new Beauty and the Beast live action movie coming up. It might be very interesting to watch. So thank you again. Thank you for listening. And until next time, have a nice day.